The last thing you said to me when we did the preview earlier this week was everyone in the field was going to face some adversity during the U.S. Open. I think most of them faced adversity in the first round alone.
No question about it, Hutch. This U.S. Open was very different from last year's U.S. Open, which was different from, a few other previous U.S. Opens, and they wanted to get back to what was traditionally, a very difficult U.S. Open. I think they absolutely succeeded at that, and we're back to kind of, the first round of the U.S. Open, and you know what? A U.S. Open broke out. It was difficult right out of the block.
Sure.
And I think that's exactly what this tournament's about. Yeah. I'm really excited about it. I think it's great, it'll be interesting to see what happens over the next three rounds.
Well, only four players under par. We've got Scott Piercy, former Canadian Open champion, Ian Poulter, Russell Henley, and Dustin Johnson, who we talked about. Actually, I think he was our favorite coming in. They're all at one under. Jason Duffner at even par. That's it as far as even par or better goes. Kind of illustrates what we're talking about, doesn't it?
Yes, and when you take a look at all these players, they all, Piercy's a real good ball striker. Dustin Johnson, his game and his ability speaks for itself. Ian Poulter, who's a very tough customer, he loves these types of situations, and he's well-suited mentally for it. And Henley's a very good player when he gets on a roll. So, that really doesn't matter if if you're 3, 4, 5, 6 over par, you're in the game, and you have to bring this mentality that, yes, okay, maybe you shot 76 today, but if you play a good round tomorrow, and I think the players that are going to be able to played in the afternoon today, they're going to play in the morning tomorrow.
Right.
That's where that's where guys really make their move, because tomorrow afternoon, depending on obviously the weather, but that's when the golf course gets beaten up. The greens are a little bumpy. They're going to be very bumpy tomorrow afternoon in the second round. It's going to be harder for those players finishing late in the day tomorrow. So, there's jockeying for position, and tomorrow's going to be a very important day for a lot of people.
Well, and you mentioned, too, six over. I mean, on most days, that would be considered a terrible score. Mackenzie Hughes is sitting there at plus six, and he's not in bad shape, is he?
Go ahead.
No, he's in pretty good shape as far as making the cut goes.
Well, he's put in the same position that he's been in most of the year. He's on the edge.
Right.
He's going to have to play a real good round tomorrow. It's going to be very difficult.
Right.
And he's going to have to perform. And it's going to come down to that.
Yeah.
But he can't make many mistakes. He's going to have to shoot a decent round. He's going to have to shoot a good round relative to what all the other players shoot, which is going to be relative to how the course is playing, the difficulty.
Right.
And he's going to be in the afternoon, I believe. It'll be a harder golf course for the guys in the afternoon than it is for the guys in the morning.
Right. Yeah. Well, in a lot of ways, in other tournaments, you're sitting there. Okay. Well. Maybe I'm below the cut line, but hey, I come out and have a good second round, I'm going to be okay. But in this one, you're going to have to count on people actually moving back. And on this golf course, that's a very real possibility, isn't it?
Well, no doubt about it. And this is U.S. Opens like this.
Mm-hmm.
And Jack, this is where Jack had a tremendous advantage. And Hale Irwin's had tremendous advantage, because they knew that half the people would be eliminated just by how they perceive, the challenge.
Right.
They're beaten before they start. If they shoot a 76 in the first round, they walk away with their dauber down, as they say, and they feel defeated rather than, being a fighter and look to fight back and maybe scrap it out and get in with, another one or two over par tomorrow and make the cut.
Right.
And you never know, if they're able to perform well in that third round and then the fourth round. Strange things happen. I mean, the winning number in this U.S. Open, it could be six over par.
Right.
it's a possibility.
Sure.
And so if you keep your wits about you, and predominantly your wits about you, your mental perception, and you keep it stable, then you can always get back in the game.
Well, one guy who's going to have to, you know, keep his blinders on, you know, just focus on the task at hand, is the guy in the fishbowl, and that would be Tiger Woods. Starts off with a triple bogey, follows up with a bogey. You know, he has a back nine with two double bogeys and a bogey. What's going through Tiger's mind? I mean, obviously, the eyes of the world are on him. You know, but he's still reasonably within striking range at plus eight.
Yeah, well, you know, Tiger's going through something that he's never had to go through before. First of all, you know, let's look at, you know, his mind in the body previously. You know, he was a superstar. He could, you know, he didn't have to deal with adversity like most people.
Right.
Well, he's a different golfer now. He has and he's learning his golf swing. We talked about it.
Yeah.
And he's having to deal with adversity like, you know, average tour players.
Sure.
Where he never had to, you know, think that way before. But he does now. But, you know, it's testing him.
Yeah.
He obviously doesn't like it. But, you know, if he wants to get back, he's going to, you know, get back to winning.
Right.
He's got to find answers for these missing jigsaw puzzles.
Right.
You know, he made a goof, obviously, in the first hole. That triple was pretty bad.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he followed up with a bogey in the second hole. But, you know, that in the 13th hole where he four-putted, that's stuff that should not be happening.
Right.
Obviously, it are. Then he follows up with another double bogey. So, you know, he's got to give himself a big talking to and stabilize. He, you know, we were hoping and thinking that he might stabilize part of this, but, you know, another difficult round comes and goes,
right,
and he doesn't have an answer to those missing jigsaw puzzles.
Should he walk away not making the cut, what do you think goes through his mind?
Well, you know, I think he's got a good perspective. I think he's, you know, he's got to perhaps stop. I would have to think that he's getting ahead of himself.
Okay.
You know, he's close.
Right.
He knows that if he can just putt a little better and keep his ball striking solid, that he'll be right there.
Right.
It's kind of like Phil. Phil, you know, he went out there and shot 78 today.
Sure.
You know, Phil wants it. They want it badly. And that's the very thing they have to stay away from. It's that,
right,
that you know, they're you know, they want it. And we all know in this game, if they want it too much, it's going to push them further away from their objective.
Right, right. Well, I'd like to say, I mean, you know, Mickelson had a rough day. Bubba Watson had a rough day. Jordan Spieth 8 over. You know, so it's not just Tiger that's going through this. I mean, so, you know, there's some pretty big names and some pretty big numbers out there. Now, you know, we talked about the golf course, Shinnecock Hills. Part of it, too, is the weather. Not that it's particularly bad weather. That wind today was really what did it, wasn't it?
Yes, and they talked about before the round started, the USGA was out there talking about they never had these audibles.
Right.
Meaning that, boy, they made that golf course as easy as they could.
Right.
Because they knew the weather, the wind was going to be playing such a factor. Now, right, man, if the weather keeps, if the wind keeps blowing,
right,
this golf course is going to be, it's going to show its teeth in a big way because,
right,
you know, if your good round is one under par, the best rounds of the day, obviously, like today,
right,
you can't do that every day. It's not like, you know, 400 is going to win.
Sure.
There's going to be a couple of bad rounds in there, and that means, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 over par could be the winning number.
Yeah. Well, I know tomorrow it's supposed to be cooler, number one. It's only supposed to be 67 degrees Fahrenheit tomorrow. And the wind is supposed to be out. It's not supposed to be as bad as it was today, or good, whatever way you look at it. But it's going to be a factor, I think.
Oh, it's a huge factor because, you know, I was listening to Piercy's comments today that he normally hits his 5-iron, you know, 205.
Right.
And with the ocean wind coming off the Atlantic,
yeah,
is, you know, into the wind, his 5-iron's going 175.
Right.
You know, so that's a 30-yard 25-30 yard gap.
Yeah.
And keeping it, knowing that, you know, during this gust, that if you hit this shot solid and it doesn't gust, or if you hit, miss hit it and it does gust, it's going to have a drastically different effect on the golf ball.
Right.
And that's kind of like keeping these guys on edge, because if you're not hitting it solid, the ball's going to do something completely different based on how the wind's going to affect the golf ball.
Yeah, well, you mentioned the seaside aspect of it. Does this become more or less like a British Open?
It does. It really does, and more so than any other U.S. Open, because he's talking about, you know, landing it just on the front edge of the green and letting the ball release to the middle of the green.
Right.
You know, that is very link-style golf. The only difference in link-style golf, you might land it 10 or 15 yards short and let it run to the middle.
Right.
You know, because these greens are, they're quite, actual playability of the green is a lot smaller than the actual green.
Right.
So the strategy is hitting it to the middle of the green, and you'll always have a decent shot. But you start going at those pins, and they're on the edges, and balls slip on the side or come up short and off the ball's front or go over the back. And you're going to be in for some trouble.
Well, I think, you know, you just mentioned some of the reasons, I think, for the high scores today. And, you know, and the other one obviously being that cabbage that they call rough.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're, you know, they got a generous width in the fairways.
Right.
You know, they're, instead of the 26-yard width, they're into the 35 and 40-yard width.
Right.
But guys will inevitably hit it into the thick, long grass.
Right.
And if you get in there, boy, you know, first of all, you hop up the one where Dustin, he hit it in, you know, just a yard or two off the fairway, and it took him a couple of 3-4 minutes with 20 people searching for it before they found it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so that can happen easily enough, and you know, it's happening to the guys with the big galleries. It's going to, you know, there's going to be the other players on the other side of the golf course that will be, in fact, losing those golf balls.
Sure, exactly. Well, the U.S. Open, where the greens are slick and the rough is thick, right? Going to be some carnage again on Friday.
It is, and it's just kind of like, you know, tomorrow is like the second wave hitting D-Day.
Guys got
mowed down, and you know, the reinforcements are coming up for the second round, and it's going to be it's a war of attrition.
And there could be movement up, movement down that leaderboard, so it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. So we'll keep an eye on it. We'll, you know, look for the casualties.
That's right.
I guess we'll know after the cut's announced tomorrow. So we'll see. Like you say, I mean, I don't even know what that cut's going to be. I know the last time at Shinnecock Hills in 2004, it was +6. I think it's going to be a lot higher this year.
I think so, too. And I look forward to it, Hutch, and look forward to talking to you about it after it's all over.
Okay, Dick. Thanks again.
Thank you, Hutch.
Okay.